as they're passing those out, I just want to pray real quick, just invite the Holy Spirit again. Holy Spirit, we love you and thank you for this morning. Just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in the nations. Thank you that you are sending people out from this body and that we can be a part of that. And Lord, I ask that you would speak through me this morning, Jesus, that you would be glorified. Because you are worthy of all our worship. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start in Matthew chapter 16. And this is going to be the catalyst of the entire sermon. We're going to start in verse 13. So Matthew 16, 13. And that is in your notes, kind of at the beginning. Not all of it, but. So verse 13 in Matthew 16, chapter 16, verse 13 says, "When Jesus came into the region of Caesar Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Who do you say that I am, that I, the Son of Man, am?' So they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' And he said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' And Simon Peter answered and said, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it.'" I've always read this verse and kind of thought that Peter was the rock. You know, on this rock I'm going to build my church, if you kind of read through it quickly. But a revelation that the Lord gave me a while back was the rock that he's talking about is the revelation of who Jesus was that Peter received. And so he says, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "On this rock, on the revelation of who I am, I'm going to build my church." And so this morning, I want to talk about the knowledge of Jesus and the importance of it and just encourage us to pursue that. Because that's what changes everything. Knowing who Jesus is changes everything. It changes our entire lives. And so let's go to Ephesians 4 and read a very familiar verse that we all know. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 11, and this is in your notes as well. I'll get one of those notes out so I can tell you where I'm at. First paragraph, number one. It says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." And verse 13 is what I really want to focus on. It says, "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." We've been given all these gifts, prophecy, evangelism, teaching, pastoral, everything that he lists there for verse 13, until we come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. That's why we have these gifts. That's why we're here at church. That's why we move out in prophecy. That's why we evangelize. It's because we want people to know who Jesus is for real. And I think a lot of the times we can say we know Jesus because we've heard about him. You know, we know Barack Obama because we've heard about him. He's the president of the United States. But there's such a deeper level to knowing that Jesus is calling us to, and that I want to encourage us in, is truly knowing who he is and what he's like. The next verse I want to go to is 2 Corinthians 4. And I love this verse. 2 Corinthians 4, starting in verse 4, says, "Whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservant for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And I feel the end of verse 6 gives us a glimpse into knowing Jesus and knowing the glory of God. And it says, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God is found in the face of Jesus Christ. So in order to know the Father, we must know Jesus. He said, you know, I have come to show the Father. I'm a representation of the Father. And what you see me do is from the Father. I only do what the Father tells me to do. And so I love that end of verse 6. It says, you know, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God is in the face of Jesus Christ. And we find what the glory of God is in Exodus when he passes before Moses and says, you know, Moses says, show me your glory, Lord. And so the Lord says, okay, I'll show you my glory, but you have to hide in this cleft or else you're going to die if you see me. And so he passes before him, but the glory that the Lord, I believe, really wanted to show him was what he proclaimed as he passed before Moses. That said, the Lord God, gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in love. And I can so often get the word glory as this cloud that comes down, fills the church, people are slain out on the ground. You know, that's the glory of God. And that's an aspect for sure, but I think the true glory of God is found in the character and nature of who he is. And it's found in knowing who he is. And that's found in knowing Jesus. And so in order to know the glory of God is found in the face of Jesus Christ. And I love the verse in, I believe it's 2 Corinthians 3:18 that says, you know, we with unveiled face behold as in a mirror the glory of God, and we are being changed into that exact likeness. And the encouragement is to gaze at the face of Jesus Christ in order to know him. And I wanted to just kind of give us a few practicals of that. I think of David in Psalms 27:4, where he says, one thing have I desired. I really feel that David grasped this reality, how important it was to know Jesus. One thing have I desired, that will I seek, that all the days of my life that I may behold his glory and who he is. And that's what changes us. That's what makes us new. That's what gives us passion, is beholding him. It's encountering him. And it's so much more than just reading through the scripture day by day, reading your daily scripture to get through the Bible in a year. It's so much more than just that. It's truly encountering the Lord. And so some practical things that the Lord has taught me in the last couple months and years is really place yourselves in the stories that Jesus is in throughout the Gospels to get to know what he's like. I think of Jesus cleansing the temple in John 2. John 2 verse 13, where he is caught up with this holy anger as he sees what's going on in the house of the Lord. And when we think of Jesus, I've thought of him as just this peaceful, just walking around the earth, like with flowers growing behind him as he walks. But no, he walked into this temple and it says he started making a cord, a whip. What is he thinking as he makes that whip? You know, just all this stuff could be going on. Like, I don't even know. And it's something that I encourage you guys to ask these questions. We did this exercise in Justin's Bible study the other night where we read a story and we wrote down as many questions as we could to that story. So we would take this story, Jesus cleansing the temple, and we read through it and we say, what was he thinking as he was making that whip? How long did he make that whip for? Was it, you know, 20 minutes, he's sitting there just kind of brewing in anger? Or is he over there just makes this whip real quick? We'd ask other questions. What was it like when he walked into that temple with this whip and he started driving everybody out? He's throwing over tables, using the whip to drive people out. The animals are just going everywhere. Just what a scene would that be like? And that's our Jesus. It just rocks your world when you begin to ask questions and really place yourself in the story. I think as well of Matthew. There's a couple times in Matthew 9:36 and then Matthew 14:14, where there's this one phrase that always has rocked my life and really just been a cry of my heart. It says, Jesus looked over the crowd. He looked over the people, and he was moved with compassion. And my heart's like, Lord, what does that feel like to be moved with compassion, like Jesus was moved with compassion? It says in one of the Matthew 14:14 that he was moved with compassion and healed every sick person there. And so he looks over this crowd and is moved with compassion. And so I ask questions like, Lord, what does that feel like? You know, how, what do you feel about that person with leprosy versus the person who is in adultery? You know, he's moved with compassion. And so that's just some practical ways. Ask questions, read the word, go through Jesus's life like it's real, because it was. And he walked this earth, and he's seated in heaven now. And it'll begin to rock you, because that is where we find eternal life. It says in John 17:3 that this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, you who you have sent. And it's so much deeper than the normal knowing of the president, of somebody famous. It's a real relationship. And as Bethany mentioned, encouraging us at the end, that it's about relationship. And that's what he's made us for. He's building his church upon the knowledge of who he is. And if we don't have that, I think we can get caught up in so many other things in religion, you know, just the day-to-day going through life, that we're supposed to play this many songs at church. We come on a Sunday morning and sing, and you know, they didn't play that note right, and that song was a little slow. It should have been a little faster. But everything just falls to the wayside when we truly know who Jesus is and begin to experience it, who he is. It brings a lot of freedom, I think. Just, you can read the stories through the gospel and how Jesus truly struck at the heart of religion and just said, you know, those are the ones. I think a couple times he just says, you know, I despise that. I despise the Pharisees that are walking in this religious just junk. And so as we begin to know Jesus, it frees us from that. And I think it's what makes us contagious to the world, what's going to make us contagious to the Jewish people at the end of the age, where we could provoke them to jealousy. And so that's pretty much the message that's been on my heart for a long time. And really just the message of, I think, should be our lives is, let's get to know Jesus. And I encourage everyone, let's just encourage each other in that. As we read through the gospels, as we begin to have revelation of who he is, share that. Another thing we were talking about at Justin's Bible study is, we sometimes have a hard time talking about who Jesus is, like the character. We can talk about so many other things related to religion, like how to do certain things, how to have a better marriage, how to have a better small group, all these how-tos, but we sometimes lose just talking about who Jesus is, like picking his loving kindness. He delights in loving kindness. What does that mean? To delight in something. Like when I delight in something, I love to do it, and I do it a lot. And so the Lord delights in that. What, you know, just having dialogue about that. And so I just encourage all of us to do that, to have dialogue about who Jesus is and the knowledge of who he is. So that's it. Let's pray, and we will go into worship and whatever Pastor Al wants to do. So Jesus, we thank you that you are alive, that you are real, and that you have invited us to know you, that you came as a baby, that you humbled yourself and you died on the cross, and you call us to know you, God, that you created us for relationship. At the beginning of the world, you and the Father were talking, and you said, Father, I want somebody to fellowship with. I want to create a people that I can relate to, that I can encounter with. And so, Jesus, we want that. Would you encourage us to meditate on you and truly place ourselves in where in those scriptures, in those stories, in the gospels? Thank you. We want to gaze on you and become more like you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
So, Ryan, as we go into ministry time this morning, what would you like the people to receive or embrace?
I think, again, just sign up with your weak yes that says, I choose to go after this. Because that's what it is. It's a daily yes. It's a daily getting before him and saying, Jesus, I'm weak, but I want to know you. And sometimes I feel like you are so far away that I can't. But that's a lie. And I choose to pursue you with everything that I have. So just, yeah, re-sign up no matter where you're at. And that he loves that, you know.
Here's what I'm going to do this morning.